Go to Acts chapter 28 tonight. So Acts chapter 28. Read verses 1 through 6 of Acts chapter 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Father, we do thank you again for this evening. Thank you, Father, for just the opportunity to be gathered together. And we do ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, guiding us through the scriptures. Lord, teaching us what we need to learn tonight, helping us to see how to apply the truth of your word to our lives. Father, I ask that you bless the children in Kid Venture, Lord. Open up their hearts and minds to the Bible lesson. May the word of God take root in their hearts, Father, bringing forth much fruit in their life. Obviously, the fruit of salvation, and Lord, in just a genuine close walk with you, Lord, throughout their life. Father, would you guide all of us tonight according to your will? For in Christ's name we pray, amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about shaking it off just as Paul did. In verse number 5, it says, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Somebody once said that through the power of God, we can shake off the challenges that are allowed in our life. And God allows many challenges in our life. All trials we faced are not always brought on because of sin that we have committed, but God allows things in our life for our good and his glory, for our strength to be strengthened. Our strength to be strengthened. For our faith to be strengthened, all right? For our faith to be strengthened, for us to be drawn closer to the Lord. And in the life of Paul, you already know that when you come to Acts chapter 28, Paul is not where he chose to be, but he's where God destined him to be as he is on his way to Rome as a political prisoner. If you were to go back to Acts 27, you would see where Paul even tried to encourage the shipmaster and encourage the centurion that was in charge of him to stay where they were at until the season would pass with the storms on the Mediterranean Sea, but they would not listen to Paul, and they found themselves in this predicament where the ship was lost. They all had to swim to the shore of this island, but it's exactly where God wanted Paul to be, even though God had already told Paul that you must go to Rome to be a witness for me, but yet along the trail or along life's journey as he would go to Rome, God had other things for him to do along the way. And one thing that you and I have to remind ourselves is that yes, we are on a journey with Christ. He has set our feet upon a path. There is a race for us to run and to finish, but along this journey, there are going to be pit stops along the way where God has us stop and do something to be an influence in somebody's life, to help somebody, to show somebody the love of God as we continue to journey with the Lord. And at any given moment, when things seem like or events seem like they just appear out of the blue, that this cannot be the will of God, we have to remind ourselves that God is in control and that there are things that God wants us to do. There are lives that God wants us to be a part of. And we have to just learn how to shake off the adversity that we're faced with at different times, because we do have an adversary who wants to take every opportunity he can to cause us to think things that are not true, to cause us to think that God's not in control, that why did God allow this to happen? Again, Paul is already a political prisoner on his way to Rome, and now, you know what? He was in the same predicament as everybody else. He's on the ship 14 days without the sun shining, without seeing the stars. Everybody on the ship had lost hope. They stopped eating, but Paul was the only one spending time with God and fellowshipping with God in the midst of the storm. It's easy to fellowship with God when everything's going nice. When the sun is shining, the sky is blue, the birds are chirping. It's easy to fellowship with God in those moments, but it's in the moments of the storm, the uncertainties, that we find the sweetest fellowship, because we find the presence of God in our life, we find the peace of God, we find the comfort of God, and we find the will of God. That God is always with us, and sometimes the will of God is for us to be in the center of a storm so that we can learn to continue shaking off the adversities that we find with the adversary. Now, looking at verses 1 through 6, just to kind of point out some truths here and some facts, the obvious in verses 1 and 2, it says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." When you're stranded and it seems like you don't know where you're going, it seems like you're stuck in a spot, in a predicament, the devil once again wants to use that against us, and he wants us to start thinking things that are not true, and we got to learn to shake it off and not let it latch onto us. Again, Paul had the word of God to encourage him, because Paul is told before they ended up on this island in the midst of the storm, God had told him, you must land on this certain island. No one's life is going to be lost except for the ship. Everyone's got to swim to shore, but this is my will for you to be in this place at this given time. And again, when we find ourselves not where we think we should be, we find ourselves where we don't want to be, we really do have to be walking with God to know if it is His will. So we can shake off whatever it is. We can shake off just the thoughts that are not true, that are not of the Lord. If you look at verse 3, sometimes we have to shake off the fact that we're wounded. In verse number 3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Again, Paul's just serving people. He's doing what the Lord would have him to do. Even though he's a prisoner, yet he's trying to help warm everybody that had to throw themselves over into the sea and to swim to this island. And Paul is wounded in the process of trying to help other people and try to serve them and try to show them the love of Christ. Paul was bitten. He was done wrong for doing good, and he was bitten by a venomous snake meant to kill him. Again, remember, the devil is a serpent. He is a snake, and he does want to bite and to inject the venom into our minds and hearts. He wants us to become discouraged. He wants us to give up. He wants us to lose all hope. He wants us to really even turn our back on the Lord. Very quickly, stay here, but go to Ephesians chapter 6. Because I want you to understand that Paul understood what it meant to have the whole armor of God on every day. Now, if you knew that there was going to be a spiritual battle today, or even tomorrow, this is tomorrow, for Thursday, if you knew, okay, this is what's going to happen, the devil's going to try to fight me in this, well, you would prepare yourself if you knew exactly what was going to happen. We are more prepared when we know what we are up against, what we're facing. But we don't always know what we're going to face. We don't always know what's going to happen. Again, Paul knew he was a prisoner. He knew he was getting on a ship and he was headed to Rome, but he didn't know what was going to happen between point A and point B, the final destination. But he was mentally, physically, and spiritually, the most important thing, spiritually prepared. When you look at verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That must be a life verse for every Christian who believes in the Word of God and believes in the power of God and believes in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because if we always rely upon our ability, upon our intellectual, upon our own thinking, then we will find ourselves defeated time and time again. Just thinking about going back to Paul being on that ship, you go back to chapter 27 of Acts, and you look, everybody had lost hope, but not Paul. Why? Because he found his strength in the Lord. He was in the same storm as everybody else. You know why it's so important for God's people to gather together as often as we can, whether it's Sunday, Wednesday, special meetings? What? It's so we can see that, you know what, I'm not the only one. You know why it's important to even give prayer requests, even if you want to be like some and say, you know, I have an unspoken? Because it encourages you to know that someone's going to pray for you and pray on your behalf. Paul was praying on the behalf of those men as he was down in the one of the cabins of the ship, because he's able to come back up and he's able to encourage all the men to eat. They hadn't eaten in 14 days. They had lost their hope. They didn't even feel like eating. Have you ever been in a spot like that where you were so down in the dumps, you were so discouraged, you didn't even feel like, you had no appetite? We know what that's like when we're sick. Sometimes you get real sick and you just have no appetite to eat. But have you ever found yourself so discouraged that, you know, you go back and you read in Acts 27, they cast out the tackle of the ship. I mean, they were trying their hardest to get themselves out of that predicament that was sure to be their death. And many times people throw out the Word of God. They throw out prayer because, well, I've been doing it, it just doesn't seem to help, because the focus is not on the one who is the master of the storm. The focus often is on the storm, even though we want God's help. Remember the disciples in the ship with Jesus? They didn't ask for Jesus' help until they had done everything they could in their own strength. They were relying upon their own capabilities, which failed them. Again, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, go back to Acts chapter 28. Paul is encouraging the believers at Ephesus to continue relying upon God's power in their life. We have to learn how to shake off things in our lives so that we do not become weak in our faith and stop relying upon the Lord and stop calling out to the Lord and trusting in prayer and in the Word of God and in his Spirit. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I think it's just a couple things, and we'll get to how to shake off the adversity. But again, verses 1 and 2 shows that, you know, when we're stranded, verse 3, when we're wounded, and the wounds come in various forms. Paul is actually bitten by a physical snake. But again, we have a adversary who is a serpent, who is a lion, who wants to cause God's people to completely not trust in the Lord. He doesn't care. Listen, he doesn't care if you're saved, because he knows he can't take that away from you. He knows he can't take the gift of salvation away from you. But what he wants to do is rob you of your faith. He wants to rob you of the joy and the peace. Jesus never said that there would not be any sorrow or any difficulty in the Christian life. Okay? He never promised that you wouldn't have a moment in a day where maybe you sit down, you just feel so drained, you feel like, you know, you just spiritually wore out. He never promised that never would happen, but what he did promise is that we could gather our strength from him. We could cast our cares upon him. We could take his yoke upon us and learn of him and find that peace to the soul that's needed. In verses 4 through 6, they branded Paul first as a murderer. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer. They didn't even know who Paul was, never seen him before. But you know what? They said something that was true. He was a murderer. It's amazing how people never forget what you've done, what you've said. Some people never forget your past life. These people didn't even know who Paul was, but they said something was true. No doubt he was a murderer. And yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Though the sea, he's escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Everybody has their opinion at any given time about you. And those opinions change. Because in verse 6, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. People's minds change often. But when you're branded unjustly or when you're branded unknowingly, people have their opinions. None of that should move you. None of that should cause you to become discouraged or cause you to give up hope. We have to learn and continue learning to shake off the adversities that we face any given day. Now, three ways I want us to think about shaking it off, just as Paul did, and what a wonderful thing it is. Look at verse 5. He says, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Don't allow yourself to feel harm. Again, yes, there'll be times where we become weary. You know, we become fatigued. We become, you know, we'll have the temptation today just to, you know, be so feeling so discouraged, but don't let it latch on and feast on you. Don't let it grip your heart and distort your thinking. Because again, we're told in Scripture to pull down the imaginations and the thoughts that are contrary to the truth of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. Because the first way that we can shake off the adversity that wants to latch onto us is to continue trusting God's word. Now, if you and I are doing exactly what God has asked us to do, like Paul is doing exactly what God said to do. I mean, God's the one that tells him in the midst of the storm, you must go to Rome. So you know what? I know it's God's will. I know that I can't see how I'm going to get there from this point, but obviously God has the plan. He already has it mapped out, so I can trust him. Proverbs chapter 3, you look down at verse 5 and 6, very familiar passage. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you would mentally, in your mind, if you normally don't write in your Bible, underline mentally in your mind, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Because some Christians don't acknowledge God in all their ways. Only when things are going smooth, only when the sun is shining, only when the sky is blue, only when I'm being blessed do I acknowledge God. But when things get tough, when there is a trial, when there's a lesson to be learned, many Christians turn their back on God. Some are the opposite way. Some, when things are going good, they pay no God attention until something goes wrong. Then they're seeking God. God wants us to be consistent in our belief and in our faith of his word. But this is what Paul had. Paul had the sure word of God to keep him going and to not allow the venomous snake to affect him. He shook it off. Did it hurt? I'm sure it did. Did it latch on to him? The Bible says it did. What does a snake do when it latches on? I don't know if you've ever been bit by a snake. It sinks its teeth into you. If it's a venomous snake, it sinks its teeth into you. The devil sinks and wants to sink his teeth into you to put his venomous poison into your spiritual veins to cause you to stop trusting what God had told you. Many believe the lies that if you become a Christian, life will be all hunky-dory, there'll be no problems, there'll be no trials, and that's not true, because then guess what? You and I never learn to fully trust God. We never learn how to cast our cares upon Him. We never learn to come to Him and to pour out our hearts to Him like Hannah did. Again, like I said, it's not wrong. I mean, God remembers our frame is but dust. He knows we're human. He knows that we become overwhelmed at times. Hannah was overwhelmed. She wanted to have children. She couldn't have children. But one day she was so overwhelmed, she just went to the Lord in the temple and poured out her heart before the Lord. And the Bible says that when she was done, she walked away sad no longer. She just fully gave it to the Lord. She was tired of feeling overwhelmed. She was tired of the grief she was feeling in her heart. She was tired of the adversary always picking on her. Because you know what? Go there. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Again, it's not wrong to feel overwhelmed. It's wrong to stay in that. It's wrong to allow yourself to stay in that place when God wants us to move on. Cast it on Him. I mean, Hannah truly lived out 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, look, if you would, verse number 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret. That's what the adversary wants to do. The adversary wants God's people to fret, to lose sight of their hope in the Lord, to be fully concentrated on what they want or what they're deprived of. Her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Who shut up her womb? The Lord. The Lord's in control. It wasn't her husband. Her husband said, aren't I better than 10 sons? Because he loved her, he took care of her, he provided, right? But there is, I mean, for a woman, her mother, there's this God-given, I don't know what you want to call it, there's this God-given just feeling on the inside, this desire to have children, okay? And that's what her husband could not fulfill that. He could not provide that feeling without those children, and you know, he did everything he could. And the adversary is making her fret, making her worry, making her think God doesn't care, but God's the one that shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did eat. In verse 7 it says she, because unfortunately Hannah's husband was married not only to Hannah but to another woman, and she was able to have children, and she just, you know, flaunts it to her, lets her know that, you know, I have children, you don't. I mean, the devil uses any and everybody he can to discourage God's people. But I want you to look down at verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. She was in bitterness of soul. I mean, this wasn't just, you know, just a simple little, oh, you know, I wish I had children. I mean, have you ever been there? Have you ever been in bitterness of soul? But she did something about it. Misery loves company. And unfortunately, there are some people that love misery, and they want other people to join in their misery. But Hannah was bitterness in soul and prayed unto the Lord. She did something about it. She went to the one who could do something about the predicament, who could do something about the bitterness in her soul, who could do something about her life, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Skip on down, because she pours her heart. She tells the Lord her desire. I want to have a son. And if you'll just bless me with that, I'll give him right back to you. And you know the rest of the story. You know how she does give Samuel to the Lord. Samuel, he grows up in the temple. He grows up with Eli being the one to take care of him. Skip on down, if you would, to verse number 19. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 18. Verse 18, she said, as she's speaking to Eli, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She shook off her adversity. She shook off the bitterness in her soul by taking it to the Lord. She didn't allow it to remain any longer. It was there as long as it was, and she was tired of it, and she gave it to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But you and I, we have to shake off the adversity and truly trust what God says in his word. Trust what God says. Number two, we have to keep on going. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Once you shake it off, then you have to keep walking with God. You have to keep moving. You have to keep going. Paul shakes off the venomous snake and keeps right on serving, keeps right on doing what he was doing. And we have to trust God's word, and we have to keep on going. Satan wants to stop you from doing what God's given you to do and to stop you from being who God wants you to be. In Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hannah found herself in bitterness of soul. Day in and day out, year after year, she's reminded of what she doesn't have and what she desires to have. She gets to the point where she realizes, you know what, this is enough. I'm just going to shake it off. I'm going to cast it at the feet of God. I'm going to just pour out my heart to the Lord and let God have my bitterness, let him have my sorrow, and whatever God's will is, because he's the giver of life. And she got up and she kept being a wife. She kept being a servant to the Lord. She kept being a follower. She kept being a worshiper. She let it be in the hands of God. Whatever God wanted to do with it, she was okay with that. And God obviously blessed her. Here's the thing. For you and I, what does that mean? What does it mean to keep on going? What does it mean after I have cast my care upon the Lord, after I have shook it off and let go? You got to keep on reading your Bible. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep on trusting. You got to keep on doing what God has already given you to do. Whatever God's asked you to do, whatever you know is right to do, you got to keep doing it. Many people are trying to find new ways of serving God. God still likes the old paths. God's already given a way in his word for us to follow him, to serve him, and to do things. And it is by faith, it is by trusting, it is by following, and it is by serving others. Paul continued to serve. He continued to be an example of Christ to these barbarians and to the other prisoners and to the soldiers that were there on the island with him. Notice he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And he kept right on serving And as they looked upon him, as these barbarians continued looking, they knew. It wasn't that they didn't know it was a venomous snake or not. They knew that it was a venomous snake. And as they just continued looking and watching, they saw no change in Paul. No hand swelling, no cursing, no foaming at the mouth, no sitting down and having a pity party, no blaming God, no throwing his fist up in the air, cursing God. He just kept right on with the love of Christ serving. If we find ourselves being changed by circumstances away from the image of Christ, because we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit is supposed to bear out in our life. There really is no good time not to be like Christ. And in order to continue for us to be like Christ, we have to shake off whatever is trying to latch on to us. Fear, bitterness, hatred, disgust. I mean, whatever it is that the devil wants us to give into, we have to shake it off, because there are people that are watching that we are trying to influence. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." God says you've been given liberty. You've been set free, but don't use your freedom to the occasion of the flesh to do what you want to do. But our liberty is to be used, as it says at the end of Galatians 5:13, "But by love serve one another." And how we serve others is by showing them Christ. By showing them I'm different. Showing them I'm not the same old person. Everybody has their opinion, but I want the final opinion to be, okay, ignorant fishermen, they've been with Christ. I see the power of God upon his life. I see the example of Christ in his life. I may not agree with him or agree with her, but I can't fight against the fact that they have Christ in their life. And that is exactly what Paul did. He kept right on serving, gathering that firewood, and it changed their opinions. Now, okay, they said, "Oh, nope, he's a god." All right. And Paul was no god. He just had the power of the true living God upon his life. But God used what the barbarians were thinking for Paul to be able to do the work that he did, as he would heal some and would be a great testimony to those barbarians. Look at Psalm 28, verse 7, if you would. We have to let the Lord protect us. Paul was allowing God to protect him. Again, we don't find ourselves. You may never find yourself in the same situation. One thing we have to be careful of is looking at Scripture and saying, "Well, I don't ever plan on being on a ship on the Mediterranean Sea in a storm, so that's never going to happen to me. I'm not going to end up on the island of Mileta." We have to apply it to our life. No, we may never be on a cruise ship in the Mediterranean Sea in the midst of a storm. But you have storms in your life. You have things that you face that God has already told you before the storm, "I'll be with you. I'll bring you through it. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your heart fixed upon me." Again, God never promised a bed of roses. He never promised a life without difficulty or without challenges or even without, you know, fatigue at different times. Elijah found himself fatigued after doing the will of God on Mount Carmel, and God had to feed him and encourage him and say, "Okay, come on, I got more stuff for you to do." Psalm 28, verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him." Underline that. Underline that mentally and think about those words. My heart trusted in him. I can do everything right on the outside. I can carry my Bible into church. I can carry my Bible home. I can open it up. I can read it. And it does me no good if my heart does not trust in Him. My heart doesn't trust in Him. Having the Bible does me no good. I can read it, but if I don't trust Him, it does me no good. Paul had, listen, you and I have an advantage over Paul. We have the completed scriptures. We have something we can open and physically look at and read. Paul just had the verbal word of God that he heard. I think that's pretty cool, though, that God spoke directly to him. But you know what I'm saying? He had to remember what God said. He had to rely upon the Holy Spirit to bring to his mind what God had said. Paul had the word of God to encourage him. You and I have the word of God to encourage us and reminds us that God protects us. It was assumed that Paul must have been an evil man because of a snake bite. Again, everybody has their opinion. Everybody will have their opinion of you and me. But the truth should be, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. You go back to Acts chapter 27. You look, when did Paul rejoice in the Lord? When did Paul encourage the other men to take meat to eat and prepare to swim? The storm was still there. The sun had not started shining yet. They were still in the midst of the storm, still on the ship being tossed about. But Paul was able to encourage people in the midst of their trial because of his own attitude in his own trial. Are you going to listen to someone who is frantic and who is complaining and trying to encourage you? No. We're always drawn to people who are smiling, who are upbeat, who are positive. Right? Because I want that. I want that positivity. I want that positiveness that they have. And Paul was someone who drew people to him, not because of him, but because of Christ in him. He was resolved in himself to always yield himself to Christ and to let Christ shine forth in his life because his heart trusted in what God told him. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. Lastly, look at Galatians chapter 6, if you would. Always remembering that God is in control. That's how we can shake off the adversities that we face, the venomous bites that the devil wants to sink into us. Is remembering, you know, God's in control. I may not understand. I may feel overwhelmed. I may feel fatigued. But I'm going to remind myself God's in control. And if God's in control, then my heart can trust Him. And I'm just going to keep on doing what He's given me to do and trust the rest will work out. Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not. Again, who is your strength? If your strength is yourself, you're going to faint. But if our strength is the Lord is my strength, then I won't faint because I'm just going to continue trusting Him, relying in Him, letting Him have His way with me. And whatever comes my way, I'm just going to trust Him. Again, when you think about the Christian life, He didn't promise that it would be perfect with no issues. But He promised what? He would always be there for us. And He was there for Paul every step of the way. He was there for Philip every step of the way. He was there for Ruth every step of the way. He was there for Esther every step of the way. He was there for Hannah. And again, Hannah, a beautiful picture of just finally, you know what? I'm tired of having this bitterness. I'm tired of having this struggle. And finally just letting go of it, shaking it off, and just hanging on to the peace that we have with Christ. Hanging on to the comfort, the faithfulness that we have of God. Tonight, you may not be facing anything, but it's in the test. Because somebody once said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Again, someone may say, oh, I trust God, but then every situation they find themselves in, they're not trusting God. Paul's faith was tested often. Esther's faith was tested. There's not a child of God whose faith is not tested. But our faith is more precious than gold. Learn to shake it off. Learn not to let things grab onto you, latch onto you, and suck the life out of you like a leech does. Blood-sucking leech. Don't allow it to suck the life out of you, the joy out of you. Shake it off. And continue learning how to trust God and let Him be your strength. Again, you find yourself in the restroom, in your bathroom, just, you know, you find your place, you find yourself just there and just mentally, physically drained, spiritually drained. Remember to look up. Remember to look up. Where's your help come from? It comes from the Lord.